Traditionally, TV networks in the United States have been broadcast free to the public through antennas by hundreds of local affiliate stations throughout the country. The Big Four networks, as they are called, that stand out above the others are the National Broadcasting Company, Columbia Broadcasting System, the American Broadcasting Company, and Fox. Obviously, Fox is named a little differently from the others. There's no acronym or anything, and you will see that Fox is kind of the standout in many other ways as well. These networks essentially created the television industry and have had a massive impact in shaping all of traditional media. So in this video, I think it would be interesting to take a look back at how all of this happened. Now, I want to be clear that network television is a wide subject that could be discussed endlessly depending on how deep you want to get into it. But for today, my intention is to give a brief overview of how these networks started, how they evolved, and how they have competed with each other in a few key categories. I mean, three of these four networks go so far back that they started out over the radio, before television had any kind of popularity. NBC's first broadcast was on November 15th, 1926, dating back almost a century. The company was started by RCA, who at the time was the world's number one maker of radio receivers. A part of the reason they started the network was to give the public more reason to buy their radios. NBC was considered the first and, well, only nationwide radio network at the time, so the following year, Arthur Judson, the man in charge of the Philadelphia Orchestra and the New York Philharmonic, tried to convince NBC to broadcast some of their performances over the radio. You know, trying to get some more exposure, and when NBC turned him down, he was able to put together his own small network of radio stations to air the performances, called United Independent Broadcasters. That name was quickly changed, however, to Columbia Broadcasting System, after the parent company of Columbia Records briefly invested money in it. So, from the beginning, you can see how NBC and CBS were positioned as rivals, with CBS starting out as the underdog against the much bigger and already more established national network. Ironically, throughout the 1930s, CBS was able to attract listeners by shifting their focus toward news coverage, while NBC continued to air mostly music and comedy shows. In fact, early on, NBC was growing so quickly that they were gaining multiple affiliates within the same cities, to a point where it made sense to split their programming into what they called the Blue Network and what turned out to be the much more profitable Red Network that focused mostly on comedy. I know, some of this can get tricky, but those comedy shows were really popular on the radio back then and, believe it or not, sort of helped shape everything. See, in 1941, the FCC made a rule that said each company could only own one network, which, as you could imagine, was troubling news for NBC. They ultimately chose to sell their less profitable Blue Network to a man named Edward Noble, who up until that point was known as the person who popularized Lifesavers candies. He had bought that company 30 years earlier for $2,900 and turned it into a national brand. Shortly after taking control of the Blue Network, he renamed it ABC, which, as you could imagine, started out at a distant third place behind NBC, who had always been number one, and CBS, who was slowly gaining ground. In the late 1940s, CBS started aggressively seeking out NBC's comedic talent, using some kind of legal setup where they would buy the celebrities' naming rights, and then that would allow them to be paid at a different tax rate. Yeah, it's tricky, but in short, CBS was offering much more attractive contracts, and they were able to win over many of NBC's top comedians, most notably Jack Benny, who had been with NBC for 23 years. By the end of that decade, those two networks were practically competing neck and neck with each other, with ABC still at a distant third, simply unable to pay for the same level of programming as those other two. For ABC, I would say that the involvement of the film studios may have been the biggest single factor in legitimizing the brand and closing that gap. In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled on United States versus Paramount Pictures in a decision that ultimately said that the studio that makes the movies can no longer own the theater that exhibits the movies, otherwise it would be too much of a vertical monopoly. It caused Paramount to spin off their chain of over 700 theaters into its own company, and that company went on to buy ABC for $25 million $1 million in 1953. The deal meant that ABC was now more stable and had access to more money that could be invested. Well, the following year, those extra funds allowed ABC to make a deal with Walt Disney, where they helped secure funding for the construction of Disneyland. ABC came out of it with 35% ownership of Disneyland and a deal where Disney would produce a show to be aired on their network. And then that helped lead to a production deal with Warner Brothers, so all of this helped get the ball rolling for ABC. For the next 30 plus years, these were recognized as the Big Three networks, responsible for airing most television programming throughout that time. In 1985, Rupert Murdoch, known for taking over his father's Australian newspaper company and expanding it into a global media business, acquired the film studio 20th Century Fox and then made a deal to acquire 7 television stations in major U.S. markets. These markets included New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Dallas, and within a year, he utilized all of it to launch a new television network simply called Fox. Now, obviously, trying to establish a new broadcast network like this was a difficult task that most people at the time thought would be nearly impossible. I mean, just consider that everybody had been tuning in to those same 3 networks for as long as they owned a television. Fox's big plan was to broadcast edgier content that would hopefully attract a younger audience. Within its first few years, Fox debuted the sitcom Married with Children, the true crime series America's Most Wanted, the teen drama Beverly Hills 90210, and maybe most notably, the cartoon comedy The Simpsons. I would say that was a solid lineup, with a much more youthful identity compared to the top shows on the other networks, like Cheers on NBC, 60 Minutes on CBS, and Roseanne on ABC. Fox also made a $2.5 billion deal to acquire New World Communications in 1996, making it the biggest owner of TV stations in the country. And then in the 2000s, their biggest show was American Idol, that further cemented them as the newest major network. I want to recognize that when the Fox network was established as part of the 20th Century Fox film studio, that was the only case of a film studio owning a network. It had never happened before, and it has since happened with every other network. Trust me, a lot of this can get needlessly confusing, but to keep it simple, in 1995, ABC was acquired by Disney in a $19 billion deal that actually qualified as the second largest corporate takeover ever. They had started a relationship with that Disneyland deal over 40 years earlier, so it was a logical pairing. And then more recently, when it comes to streaming, the top platform for this company as of 2019 would be Disney Plus. In the year 2000, CBS was acquired for about $40 billion by Viacom, who had acquired Paramount 6 years earlier. I recommend watching one of my previous videos if you want to hear more about that complicated relationship, but as I make this, Paramount and CBS are yet again part of the same company and the owners of Paramount Plus. And finally, in 2004, NBC was brought together with Universal through another series of complex deals and are currently the company behind the streaming platform Peacock. I also want to mention here that Hulu was started as a venture between NBC and Fox, meant to be a place where you could watch the shows that were originally aired on their networks on the internet, but Disney and ABC have since taken full control of it. Disney has also acquired 20th Century Fox the film studio, but not the Fox TV network. So even though Fox was the first one to be paired with a major film studio, today they're the only one that is independent. I also want to take a few minutes to compare some of the bigger programming categories, and I have to say that for most of it, NBC has been the most consistent. Meet the Press is considered to be the longest-running show on American television. That show has been on consistently since 1947, even starting as an NBC radio show 2 years earlier. I'm going to start off a list here. When it comes to morning shows, NBC started Today back in 1952. That is still on every morning. Meanwhile, ABC's Good Morning America has been running since 1975, while the other two networks do not have anything nearly as consistent or highly rated in this category. When it comes to late night shows, NBC started The Tonight Show in 1954. That was most notably hosted by Johnny Carson for 30 years starting in 1962. And I'm sure you already know that it is currently hosted by Jimmy Fallon as of 2014. Also, it is worth mentioning in this category that Fox's first ever broadcast in 1986 was of a short-lived late-night talk show hosted by Joan Rivers. Overall, Fox has easily been the weakest of the four when it comes to late-night shows, but I think it is interesting that in 1993, right when David Letterman was moving his show from NBC to CBS, and Conan O'Brien was starting his show to replace him on NBC, Fox tried getting into the mix by starting another short-lived late-night show hosted by comedian Chevy Chase. And then for ABC, I feel like I have to mention that their only major late-night talk show has been Jimmy Kimmel Live, starting in 2003 and still ongoing. Another category on the list would be kids' shows. NBC debuted The Howdy Doody Show in 1947 that is recognized as the first major American children's show. In the 1950s, CBS responded by airing Captain Kangaroo that lasted for almost 30 years. In 1990, Fox started their highly rated Saturday morning programming block that became known as Fox Kids, that aired shows like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and Bobby's World, one of my personal favorites back then. And then ABC started One Saturday Morning to compete with Fox Kids. Another category would be sketch comedy, and yet again, NBC would be the earliest and most consistent, with Saturday Night Live airing consistently since 1975, and I would not say that anything from any of the other networks has truly compared to it. However, Fox did make some aggressive attempts early on, with In Living Color starting in 1990 and Mad TV starting in 1995. In fact, The Simpsons originated from an early sketch comedy program on Fox called The Tracy Ullman Show. And finally, when it comes to the category of sports, just a few notable moments would be all the way back in 1927, the first ever coast-to-coast radio broadcast happened when NBC aired their coverage of the Rose Bowl. ABC became known for their sports broadcast starting in the 1960s and even acquired ESPN in the 1980s. And for Fox, a $1.5 billion contract to broadcast NFL games that was won against CBS is considered to be one of the big moments where people started respecting Fox as a serious contender against the others. They went on to sign similar contracts with the NHL and the MLB in the following years. To summarize all of this, and there is a lot to summarize, network broadcasting as we know it truly started with NBC, and every time there was a new contender to challenge the existing leaders, it seemed almost impossible. Practically anybody knowledgeable about the subject at the time would have likely bet against them succeeding, but in all three cases, they found a way to stand out from the others, attract an audience, and scale their operation. For many reasons, you have to admit that this is an impressive story that I think really helps explain the development of the communications, media, and the entertainment in this country. Let me know in the comments, what are your thoughts about these networks? What are your favorite shows to come from them, and do you have any loyalty to one over the others? Like, what I mean is, are you more likely to watch a show if it is on CBS, for example, or maybe you don't pay much attention to who is broadcasting it? I think we all know that streaming has attracted a lot of viewers away from the traditional system, specifically over the past decade, so what do you think that means for the future of these networks? Again, one last time, I want to make sure that I emphasize that this is an impossibly large subject, so this video was only meant to be a high-level overview, so please feel free to comment about anything that I failed to mention, and any other thoughts you have about NBC, CBS, ABC, or Fox, leave them in the comments. I'd like to hear what you have to say. Thank you for watching.